Welcome to the Westview Church Podcast. Our vision at Westview is creating space for self and community to find rest in Christ. And we're thankful that today you've created space in your day to study God's Word together with us. If you'd like more information about Westview Church, find us on the web at www.westview.org. I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. Aren't those just lovely words? Those are heartwarming. Put a smile on your face. Let out a deep, contented sigh. Kind of words, yes? Those are words that have been lauded and quoted for centuries on end. But wow, it took a bit, and then some to get there, didn't it? I mean, these words do not just flow off of Mary's lips the instant that an angel appears with this gigantic part of God's redemptive story. It took a lot, didn't it? It took a lot to get there. It took not one, but two pronouncements of favor. Look at verse 28 with me. Greetings, you who are highly favored. Jump to verse 30. You have found favor with God. Now, this does not mean that Mary was so great in and of herself. In fact, there really was not anything inherently special about Mary, only that God, by his divine wisdom, God, by his divine choosing, God, by his own divine choice, decided that grace would fall upon Mary. Not only that, but it took the assurance that this God of power and this God of grace was with her. End of verse 28 simply says, the Lord is with you. How comforting those words must have been to Mary. How comforting and timely those words to Mary and to her people who are now underneath this oppressive Roman regime and are yearning for God's deliverance. It took not only that, but it also took the promise of a son, which maybe seems a little unremarkable to us, right? Because you have a baby and it's a boy or a girl, yes? But don't overlook this part of the good news, because a son was a treasured gift, because then there was this most likely chance that there would be someone who would be there to care for mom when mom got old and likely widowed. It not only took that, but it took not one, not two, not three, not four, not five, not six, but seven amazing declarations of who this child would be. Look at them again with me. Have your Bibles open. Now look at start verse 32. He will be great and will be called Son of the Most High. The Lord will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end. And jump to verse 35. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. How is that for an introduction of promised accolades? And there's more. Because it didn't just take that, but it also took the assurance that God was already at work. Even Elizabeth, in her old age, is going to have a child already 6 months along. The God of miracles proving that what can be done. It didn't just take that, but it also took the question of biology to be answered. Right? Mary's initial response, it just comes down to simple physiology. I'm a virgin. It's not physically possible for me to be with child, and yet the angel counters by saying that this will be a birth unlike any other, that it will be a miraculous conception through the almighty power of Most High God and through the work of the Holy Spirit. And after all of that, it still takes one final pronouncement from the angel that ties it all together. It's sort of like a closing argument of a lawyer who finally every promise is made possible. Every explanation is made confirmed. Every hope is solidified. Look at verse 37. The whole verse. Nothing is impossible with God. Or as some translations say, no word of God will ever fail. Either way, there is nothing that is outside of the scope of possibility when God is at work, when God has a plan, when God is carrying forth His great plan of redemption and restoration. Friends, it took all of that to get here. I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. And really, that's not all, is it? I mean, that's what we see here pretty much in the black and white. But read between the lines a little bit with me this morning. There's more to it than just that. To get there, it also took within Mary a confrontation of all the potential risks of this new, shall we call it, opportunity that is before her. She's not married, and she's found to be with child. Her fiancé could leave her, which we'll talk about last week, he was ready to do. Or next week, he's nearly ready to do. Her father could reject her. Her family could disown her. Her friends and relatives could ridicule her. She could be tossed out on the streets. She could be considered damaged goods, to put it bluntly. She could be facing a lifetime of calamity and heartache. Even more than that, it took from Mary trying to process what this would all mean for her. Now, I have to stop here because for those of us who have become parents, let's be honest with ourselves. Did we really know what we were getting into? No, right? I mean, there's the joys of it. Yes, of course, there's joys, but also there's some, we'll say, frustrations as well, yes? But can you imagine, can we even begin to imagine, can Mary even begin to imagine in this moment, she is being called to raise the Son of God. Now, going to be some great joys with that, yes. But also in that moment, there's no way that she could even begin to imagine the heartache, the pain that she would experience someday in the shadow of the cross. And even beyond that, it took Mary simply overcoming just the improbability of this all, right? She is, again, an unwed virgin of about 13, probably 14 years old. And for her, life has dramatically and forever changed. Now, I'm going to give you one guess this morning, and I think you're going to get it right. Guess who has a 14-year-old daughter right now? And I'm going to tell you something about this daughter. She's fantastic. She's smart. She's strong. She's beautiful. She's this great mixture of sweet and sassy. She's already a fantastic leader. She's been mentored and shaped by mentors, formal and informal. And she's already a role model for young girls to look up to. She's a mountain mover, and she will continue to be a mountain mover for decades on end as she uses the wonderful gifts that God has given to her. She is fantastic. But she is not ready to take on life. Let alone life on her own, let alone raising a child. To have her life utterly and completely changed in an instant by words like that here of the angel. All of this was before Mary, and she had to grasp the incomprehensiveness of this all at the tender age of 14. Now, friends, we need to put all of this together, everything we see in the black and white, everything that we read in between the lines, and it took all of that to get here. I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you. It took all of that to get to the gift of submission. Which I wonder, do you, like me, do you feel something weirdly reassuring or almost maybe even comforting in the fact that it took all of this and maybe even more that we haven't even covered yet today? To get to the point where Mary can humbly submit herself to the Lord's will, is there something weirdly reassuring about this? Because I tell you what, sometimes I read the scripture passage and I look at it and I'm like, okay, yeah, we got the fair biological question. Yep, that gets answered. Very good. But then after that, Mary is just, she's just chill with this, right? I mean, she's this 14-year-old unwed virgin girl who's going to be carrying the Son of God in her womb. And she's like, all right, that's cool, whatever, God. I'm going to tell you, that's not how it works with me. And I'm going to tell you, I've not been asked to carry the Son of God. But when God asks me to do something, when God invites me to participate in His plan, I got a lot of questions. And I often have a lot of objections. And I often have a lot of doubts and wonderings and concerns that can start to bog in my mind, and I wrestle with it in my mind, and it slows me down from any response to God, and sometimes it even handcuffs me from following what God wants to do in and through me. That's me. How about you? Or maybe, is it just me that sometimes struggles with this idea of the gift of submission? Am I the only resident, the only population on the island called submission is hard? So in a way, it is almost a little bit reassuring to go so thoroughly through all of these things that it took for Mary to eventually lead her to say those beautiful words. Because I know what it takes me to lean into the gift of submission. Because to submit means to set self aside. That's hard. It is hard to set self aside. But you know what? That's not all that submission is. It's not only setting self aside, but it is also setting self aside so that I can follow the will and the way of another. And in our case, setting self aside to follow the will and the way of God. And so what submission is setting aside personal agenda, setting aside personal wants, setting aside personal opinions, setting aside even a personal defense of validating myself in front of others, setting it aside so that I can follow what God wants to do in and through me as I follow Jesus Christ. And in essence, that's what discipleship is. To submit ourselves to Jesus when we say, I am the Lord's servant, that affirms this fundamental principle truth that undergirds discipleship, that to be a disciple of Jesus is to submit ourselves to Jesus, that He is not just the Savior of my soul, but He is the Lord of my life. Discipleship is this openness to be and to do whatever it is that Jesus wants me to be and to do whatever Jesus wants me to do, what He wants to do in us, in our lives, here, now, always, in this place, in that place, practical, simple, complex, or beyond our wildest imagination. Now, I have a hunch, and I'm pretty sure I'm right on this one. My hunch is that the ask here of Mary to carry the Son of God, that's a one-time thing. I don't think that's going to be asked again. Pretty sure it's not going to be asked of any of us. So if bearing the Son of God is off the table for us, what is on the table? What is God inviting us and asking of us? Where and how has God shown His grace to us and inviting us to participate in His continued work of redemption and restoration in this world that continues through us, the church, the body of Christ, the hands and feet of Jesus? What does God want to do in us and through us, Westview, as we continue to create space for self and community to find rest in Christ? What does God have in store for us to which we can seek to respond with the gift of humble submission? Believe me, I know it's hard. And if you don't want to believe me, that's all right. Believe Mary. Believe Mary. It was not an easy gift to bring. It took a lot to get there. I appreciated this. Someone once wrote that the world's most common prayer is this: Thy will be changed. Mary's eventual submission to the will of God is a lovely thing, but friends, it did not happen immediately. That's reassuring to me, at least, maybe to you. But in time, she left aside the world's most common prayer. And instead, she prayed what is perhaps the world's most important prayer. Thy will be done. That's the gift of submission. And Westview, as we continue in this Advent season, may we bring this gift of submission to pray that prayer, Thy will be done. That God, whatever you call us to, whatever you have for us, whatever your will is for our lives, whatever it may be, whatever it will be, may we echo those words in humble submission to our God, to His good and perfect and pleasing plan for our lives. May we say, I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. Amen. Let's pray together. God, first of all, we thank you for grace that you have bestowed upon us, that you would call us your children, and that we could be co-heirs of the glory that is in Christ. And God, as your children, that you would invite us, we think you would invite us to be a part of your continued redemptive work in our world. And so, Lord, when you, the God who is with us, when you are, who are God Most High, when you call us, we would pray today that by your Spirit's power that we could bring the gift of humble submission, that like Mary, we could be ready to do your will in our lives, that we could pray that prayer, your will be done. This morning, God, we pray as a congregation. We pray for our congregation. We pray for our community. We pray for our nation, our world. We pray for Linda's father. Give a decrease to pain and an increase to mobility. Give strength to her mom as she cares for him. Lord, we also celebrate with Marv and Bev for the safe return of their grandson from deployment. God, we also pray for our families in this holiday season. We know it is called the most wonderful time of the year, but we also know it is perhaps the most stressful time of the year. So busy and so many emotions, good and hard. So we pray for grace in the journey. And in this particular season, as we anticipate the great gift that is Jesus, God, in us, may we bring the gift of Jesus in us and through us, and may we indeed be a light that shines in the darkness. We pray all of this and more in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for the Westview Church Podcast. We hope that you are blessed as we studied Scripture together today. We'd love to invite you to our worship service at Westview Church, which takes place at 9:30 on Sunday mornings. May God richly bless your day.